Hi everyone, it's Neve here with a special bonus episode of OTTB on Tap. This episode of OTTB on Tap evaluates Volume 4, originally aired just for our Supercast subscribers, but today we're sharing it with all of you as a thank you for helping us hit an exciting milestone, 25,000 listens. We've also been super busy recording a ton of new content, so we're taking this week off from a regular episode. But stay tuned, we've got some amazing guests coming up, including four RRP trainers, Stephanie Parcott, Harley Whitaker, Amanda Chance, and Chelsea O'Brien, farrier Jason Hillman, jockey Ramon Moya, and a catch-up with Jessica Redman. To celebrate all the excitement, we're offering 25% off 1 month of either our Supercast subscription tiers from May 1st through May 7th. So if you've been thinking about joining, now's the perfect time to check it out. You'll get access to even more episodes like this one, behind-the-scenes updates, and exclusive content you won't hear anywhere else. Just head to ottbontap.supercast.com to sign up, and the discount will automatically apply. All right, let's jump into the episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to OTTB on Tap. This is your backstage, This is your backstretch access group. Hi, I'm
very, Neve. Very good, Neve. Everyone just canceled their subscription.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining Supercast. We love you all. Whether you are a Backstretch Access member or an insider. Anyway, I'm Emily. Hey, Neve, what's on tap today?
Today, we're back with another exciting round of evaluations. We know pedigree and confirmation are always hot topics, and you all keep sending in great submissions. So we're diving into three listener-submitted OTTBs using only a confirmation photo and their jockey club name to break down their pedigree, confirmation, and potential for different disciplines. And of course, we'll throw in some fun predictions about what they might be like under saddle.
Exactly. As always, this is meant to be both educational and entertaining. These are just our takes based on experience and research, because at the end of the day, you don't ride the bloodlines or the confirmation. OTTBs love to prove us wrong, and there are always exceptions to the rules.
Also, if you haven't already, make sure to check out our website, www.ottbontap.com. Don't forget to check out your Supercast dashboard to find all of the photos from these episodes and more.
All right, let's get into it. We will start by introducing each horse, sharing their jockey club name, race history, and breeding before jumping into our evaluations. And to keep things interesting, as we already mentioned, we don't know anything about these horses other than a name and a photo. But we also haven't shared our thoughts with each other. We keep them top secret and under lock and key. So we will be reacting to each other's thoughts in real time.
So let's kick off this episode with our next OTTB evaluation. Today, we're looking at Buffalo Pride, a 2007 Texas bred chestnut gelding submitted by Tricia Salante.
And before we even get into our analysis of his pedigree, let's talk a little bit about his background. Buffalo Pride is by Gilded Time and out of Charm and Strike, which already gives us some clues about what to expect from him. He raced 5 times and made $0. His speed figure ranged from 0 to 34, which is quite low. And he did sell for $7,500 at the Keeneland sale in November of 2007.
And of course, we're looking at him from a sport horse perspective, so we'll break down his bloodlines, his confirmation, and what we think his ideal second career might be.
All right. So first thoughts, looking at his pedigree. As I just mentioned, he is very lightly raced with only 5 starts, and he made $0. To be really honest, I kind of didn't even realize that was possible to make $0. Usually you'll see $300 or $12 or something there.
Yeah.
So to be honest, if I was looking to purchase him, I would take the time to look up his individual races and just see how he finished, see if there's anything in the comments to be concerned about. With that speed figure, he's probably just very slow, but it's good to do a little extra research, find out what you're working with, and see if there's any questions that you want to ask. As far as pedigree goes, to me, it's a very pleasant feeling pedigree. I like the names Gilded Time and Smart Strike, who is Curlin's sire. Plus, I am a sucker for European lines and an American thoroughbred. He has an Irish bred on the dam side named Turn on the Charm by Archway, by Thatching, all Irish. And to me, that usually adds substance, hopefully soundness, and a good, though sometimes tougher brain. Tougher in, to me, I find maybe a little bit more stoic, but not necessarily a naughty way. I also think he's only lightly inbred, which is something I like, most notably to What a Pleasure, which we'll talk about in a minute, but that horse sired Foolish Pleasure, who won the Kentucky Derby. What are your thoughts?
I don't really have a ton to add. I mean, I always like seeing Damascus, which is a little bit further back in the pedigree here, but I think that's a nice standout in this horse's pedigree. I also like a horse that's been prepped for the Keeneland sales, because generally I feel those horses have a certain level of experience and maybe even some initial vettings and that type of stuff to make sure that they are actually going to, you know, qualify for being good breeding stock and things like that. So
yeah,
I think that's always a good thing to see.
Yep. No, that's absolutely a good thing to note. But overall, I just see a lot of kind of, might sound silly, but just feels very pleasant to me overall with nice breeding in there. All right. Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into Buffalo Pride's pedigree. There is some really interesting blood. Let's start with his sire, Gilded Time.
Yeah, so I love Gilded Time. He was an absolute speedster, winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and being named champion two-year-old colt. He had that early speed, but was also incredibly well-built, which made him a great sire for both racing and sport horses.
Absolutely. And looking further back, Gilded Time is by Timeless Moment, a son of Damascus, who you mentioned, which brings a lot of toughness and durability into the mix.
Yeah, the Damascus line is known for producing warhorse types, strong, durable, and with a great work ethic. That's something that you see in a lot of top eventers and jumpers, and that's why I think Damascus is such a standout to me, is that I think they're those hard...
Yes, and Gilded Time's dam, Gilded Lily, is by What a Pleasure, who was a very influential broodmare sire.
What a Pleasure was the sire of Foolish Pleasure, as Emily noted before, a Kentucky Derby winner, but he's also behind a lot of sport horse types. His line tends to produce horses with really correct conformation and good movement, which is valuable for eventing and jumping.
Yeah, I always like when I see Foolish Pleasure in a pedigree. Bit further back now, I think he won the Derby in 75.
Yeah.
Always nice to see. Now let's take a look at the dam side. So Buffalo Pride is out of Charmin Strike, who's by Smart Strike. Probably Charmin, not like the toilet paper. Charmin.
Charmin, like charming.
Yeah, I think so. Not like the toilet paper, but I'm
no,
not sure.
Go.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay. Smart Strike is a game changer. He sired Curlin, one of the best North American racehorses ever. But what's even more interesting is how many of his offspring end up excelling outside of racing. You can see his influence in eventing, show jumping, and even dressage because he throws correct, athletic, and trainable horses.
Absolutely. And going further back, Smart Strike sire is Mr. Prospector, who we always love seeing in a pedigree. Just one of the kind of old faithfuls, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. Mr. Prospector brings speed and athleticism, but his line also produces horses with excellent feet and strong backs, which helps with longevity.
On Charm and Strike's dam side, we have Turn on the Charm, which brings in some Irish and European influence.
Yeah, I love seeing Irish blood in American thoroughbreds. Obviously, I like seeing Irish blood because I am Irish, but Irish and European bred thoroughbreds tend to have more bone, a more uphill build, and a stronger hind end, which makes them perfect for jumping. That's why so many top eventers come from European or Irish breeding.
And speaking of European influences, let's talk about Prince Quillo, because he shows up further back in the pedigree as one of the most important sires in both racing and sport horse breeding.
Yeah, he is a huge name, especially for sport horses. He was originally from France, but made a massive impact in North America. He's known for producing horses with stamina, strong bones, and a great mind. Essentially, everything you'd want in a top-level eventer or jumper.
And his influence carried on through Secretariat and other greats. Horses with Prince Quillo and their pedigree tend to be fantastic movers, which translates really well to dressage, too. I remember my old advanced horse, Alex, had Prince Aquilo in his pedigree. And while he was not good at dressage, he was a fantastic mover.
They would have loved him now, I think.
They would have loved him now, yes. He was not fashionable then.
He was not fashionable then. Absolutely. So looking at Buffalo Pride's pedigree as a whole, we've got a perfect blend of speed, stamina, and durability. The American influence from Mr. Prospector, Damascus, and Smart Strike gives him athleticism and trainability, while the Irish and European blood brings out scope and soundness.
Yeah, I think that makes him a really great eventing prospect. He's got the stamina for cross country, the movement for dressage, and the scope for show jumping.
Agreed. But I also think he could excel in straight show jumping or even fox hunting thanks to the Irish blood giving him a good brain and strong feet.
So are we saying that Buffalo Pride is the total package, a well-bred thoroughbred with the right mix of speed, power, durability, and soundness? I guess so. Let's move on and break down his confirmation. Gosh, we should have looked at him first before we said all this.
I know. Hold on. I'm going to pull up his photo. To start with, I actually put a little note in here about the breeding before I give my overall impression, but I said I would expect this horse to be on the typey side and a solid athlete. I know that's a big generalization, but I think this horse lived up to it. So I cheated a little bit on this photo and I actually rotated the image slightly to give a better impression of the horse's overall build. The photo is perfectly fine, except for it just needs to be rotated so that the ground underneath the horse is actually straight.
It's level. So he's standing with his kind of butt higher than his withers in the photo. Yeah. But when you rotate it, it's not that way.
So it gives the impression of him being out of balance. But once I tweaked it, I can see that there's plenty to like. Lovely balance from front to back.
Yes. My first impression is he looks so much like a Smart Strike or Curlin type. I really like his overall balance, clean legs, and strong shoulder and hind quarter. What did you think for head and neck?
I said that he has a lovely neck set that ties in high with a setback wither. He's got an intelligent expression with large ears, which I love. It's a little hard to tell because he's looking at the camera, but I bet his face is nicely defined. And he might have a little cheeky streak.
Why? Because he's chestnut?
No, just he's got a little, his little eye.
A little glint,
Yeah, a little glimmer in his eye.
He's very cute. I also commented his head is turning towards the camera. He looks to have a nice, pleasant head. His neck looks a bit underdeveloped to me. He needs more top line, but I really like the set of his neck. It comes out of the wither at a good angle. And he has a nice placement of his neck to chest, which helps them to elevate their frame for dressage and jumping.
What did you think about his shoulder?
So I said that his humerus, which is the from the point of the shoulder to the point of the elbow, is really beautiful. Lovely point of the shoulder. I would, if I'm going to be really picky, prefer a slightly longer scapula. So from his wither down to the point of his shoulder. But the angle is really good. He is a more compact type, so I do think it suits him. But if I'm being picky, that is the only thing I could say.
How about you? I just mentioned something about how he's got a really deep chest. Like there's that whole area of between his chest and his elbow. And I would speculate that he can rotate his shoulder really well, and he's probably got really nice reach up front.
Yes, I agree with that. What about front legs and feet?
I said, this horse has got a beautiful front leg, nice and straight, long radius, and shorter cannons. The pasterns on this horse are a little bit short and upright, but he also looks to be in the beginning stages of transitioning his feet. And I would imagine that as those heels develop and he grows more hoof, the angles will improve.
Interesting.
What'd you write?
I said, we always love complaining about the photo. His left front hoof is in a shadow, so it makes it a little bit tricky to evaluate the left like front hoof with the right front. But I think what I can see in my mind's eye, I think he looks a bit more upright in the right front and a bit longer and lower on his hoof on the left front, which is very common in all horses, especially thoroughbreds. He's probably also just transitioning off the track here, I would think. His legs and joints look nice and clean from what I can tell. Obviously, we don't have a really good close-up photo. He's got nice short cannon bones.
Well, moving on to his back, I just said he's got a lovely back. with a substantial top line over his back and a well-sprung rib cage. I like that his withers and hind quarter are even and balanced.
It's interesting that he's got such a nice top line over his back and hind quarter, but not really through his neck.
Yeah.
Could be how he's standing, but I commented on his beautiful setback wither, which blends nicely into a strong proportional back. He looks nice and strong through his back with a good junction to his hind quarter.
Yeah.
And then for his hindquarters, I really think they just look incredibly powerful to me. In this photo after, I also straightened it, which we'll post for you to look at. You can see that he's not actually butt high and that his withers are at least even, if not maybe a tiny bit higher than his hindquarters. But I do get the impression that he's in the phase of his development that his hind end might overpower his front end a bit. I do love the extra length from the point of his hip to the point of his buttocks. Buttock?
Buttock. Stop saying it. Stop saying it.
I think he'd be... Stop it.
Stop. You stop it.
Well, it's a point. It's a point on the horse. I think he'd be powerful off the ground jumping, be able to collect well for dressage, and even perform well in Western tack. With that
hind. Yeah, I actually don't have anything to add to that because I feel like you covered it. Moving on to his hind legs and feet, I like his hind leg quite a bit. It looks a little bit weak, I would say, from along the Gascan up through his stifle. But I think once this horse starts doing some kind of hill work, breeze cavalletti, that kind of stuff, I think that'll improve a little bit. But I said the overall structure of his leg makes me think he can really cover the ground and that his hind feet look like they need a little bit of time to grow out.
It's funny. You almost think that we work together at some point, but because in contrast to his hind quarter, the hind leg, his Gascon is very lightly muscled. And I said, if it were my horse, I'd slowly introduce pole work, hill work, et cetera, to help strengthen him there. But I really love the length of the stifle to the hock. He's got a nice low set hock, and I think that engagement will be one of his strong suits. I feel, and this is tricky, I would like to see another photo of him. I almost feel like his pastons are actually a bit long overall, which leads to beautiful movement, but you would want to be careful in deep footing not to overstress and cause a soft tissue injury.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts on him?
I said he's a lovely horse. I bet he's a springy mover with a nice ground covering trot and an above average canter. He also shows the ability to rotate his front end nicely over jumps with plenty of power to push through behind. And I'd love to sit on this one. How about you?
I said this horse is a very nice type. I have a feeling he's quite athletic with a good work ethic, a better than average mover with a powerful canter gallop. He might be a little tricky to keep together at times. I think he'd suit many disciplines, but I see him as an eventer / jumper.
Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised you didn't say anything about Western. Because I do think he might look good in Western tack too.
He probably would, but I don't see him as that type of horse. So I'd love to be proven wrong on that.
I think it's the big butt.
All right. Next up, we're looking at Cora Ann, a 2014 Chestnut Thoroughbred mare submitted by Kimberly Ann.
She is by Glasnost, out of Cora Mariah by Stevie Wonderboy, raced 54 times, 6 wins, 4 seconds, and was third 9 times. And she won over $128,000. So stark contrast there to the first horse. So her auction history is interesting. She sold for $6,000 in the 2016 sale at Indiana Spring, the 2-year-old sale. Prior to that, she RNA'd at the sale the year before. So let's talk about something interesting here about what that means. So RNA, if you see that in an auction history, it means that her reserve price wasn't met.
When a horse RNA is reserve not attained, it just means that the bidding didn't reach the minimum price by the seller. So if you're buying anything at auction, like a car or anything like that, if the reserve isn't met, or an eBay auction, the reserve isn't met, then the seller is not going to sell it below a certain value. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the horse. It could be that the market wasn't right that day, or that the seller valued her higher than the buyers did.
Absolutely. And so some really talented horses RNA at sales and can go on to have great careers. In Cora Ann's case, maybe it was a lucky break for whoever ended up with her.
And of course, we're looking at her from a sport horse perspective. So we'll break down her bloodlines, her confirmation, and what we think her ideal second career might be. Let's talk about her pedigree because it's awesome. So I said she was a very cool war horse with a super consistent race record, probably a type that's pretty easy on itself and well-built. But looking at her pedigree specifically, Glasnost is by Awesome Again, who's by Deputy Minister, who we love. A Deputy Minister. Deputy? When you say a word and it just doesn't sound like a word anymore.
No.
Deputy. Deputy.
That's never happened to me.
Deputy Minister. She's also got Dynaformer, who's by Roberto on the sire line, which I just feel like that's pretty top shelf breeding right there. And then on the dam side, the mare goes back to Stephen Got Even, which is a real hallmark of good breeding. And then Mr. Prospector. There's just a lot of really good, nice athletes in this pedigree. So I would expect something pretty stunning.
Yes. I agree. I said that first off, we all at this podcast just love a good chestnut mare and a war horse. We'll talk more about war horses actually when we get to our final horse. But if they retire sound, usually you can't break them. Honestly, I didn't know Glasnost, but I absolutely know Awesome Again, Dynaformer, Roberto, and Dr. Fager on the top half of her pedigree. On her dam side, big names to me also include Stephen Got Even by APND, Summer Squaw, and Moscow Ballet. We'll dive into more specifics in our analysis next, but overall, I'd expect this girl to be tough and athletic, but with a good nature buoyed by the APND and Awesome Again. Dynaformer and Roberto may add some sass, but this horse should be a good mover and jump a house off of pedigree alone. So let's dig a little bit more formally into her pedigree. We just mentioned a bunch of standout names, but let's kick off with Awesome Again. What do you think, Neve?
Awesome Again is such a solid name to see. As a Breeders' Cup Classic winner himself, he passed on his grit and stamina to his progeny like Go Zapper, who was a legend in his own right.
Absolutely. And from a sport horse perspective, Awesome Again tends to produce horses with powerful builds and great engines, traits that translate well to disciplines like eventing or show jumping.
Definitely. And speaking of stamina, how about Dynaformer in this pedigree? He's from the Roberto line, which is gold for eventers.
Yeah, Dynaformer is really iconic. Also known for producing horses like Barbaro, he is famous for throwing offspring with excellent endurance and strong work ethics. His line is a favorite for upper-level eventers because they tend to be tough and athletic.
Yeah, the Roberto influence is huge for sport and for sport horse potential. Roberto was a champion turf horse, and that versatility comes through in his descendants, especially in their ability to handle varied terrain and excel in cross-country.
Talk to me a little bit more about Stephen Got Even, who ties back to APND. What's your take on his line?
I love seeing Stephen Got Even. He was a durable and consistent racehorse. And APND brings size, strength, and a great mind to the mix. Horses from this line often have the stamina for three-day eventing and the presence to shine in dressage.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely love to see him. Let's mix in some fun facts like Moscow Ballet. He's an interesting name, isn't he?
Yeah, Moscow Ballet was bred in Ireland and raced in Europe before coming to the U.S. He's by Nijinsky II, a Triple Crown winner in England, and that line is known for producing elegant athletic horses, great for sport horse potential, especially for jumping.
And speaking of international flair, Pioneering pops up in the pedigree too.
Yeah, Pioneering was a full brother, actually, to Stormcat, which gives him a lot of the same attributes, speed, athleticism, and a bit of flash. Horses from this line can have a bold presence, which is great for show rings or eventing.
And Blushing Groom, another name I love to see, both in racing and sport horse pedigrees.
Oh, yeah. Blushing Groom is incredible. He is a French Derby winner and a leading sire in both hemispheres. His line is known for producing refined, versatile horses with a lot of class. He adds elegance to the mix, which is valuable for dressage and hunters.
I also spotted Terralingua in his pedigree. She's a bit of thoroughbred royalty herself, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Terralingua?
See, here's another one that gets worse the more you say it.
I know, was a brilliant race mare and the dam of Stormcat. She brings speed and precocity to the table, and her influence often shows up in horses with sharp minds and athletic builds.
Ooh. Tell us about Summer Squall and what a versatile horse he was.
He won the Preakness and was half-brother to AP Indy, so that pedigree screams class and durability. Sport horse folks love seeing Summer Squall because he adds scope and strong lines to his descendants.
With all of these influences, this horse's pedigree looks like a fantastic balance of stamina, athleticism, and class.
Yeah, there's so much potential here for both racing and sport disciplines. This horse has the stamina and grit for eventing, the scope for jumping, and the elegance for dressage or hunters.
I love it. Let's move on to the confirmation and see how all these amazing bloodlines translate into the horse's physical build. So confirmation, overall impressions. I laughed because she reminds me a bit of Neve's new horse, Oscar, with her skyscraper head carriage. She almost gives the impression you could tip off her backside if you weren't careful. Yeah. She's that uphill. Looking at her feet, you can see this photo is also tilted slightly uphill. So while the last horse was tilted slightly downhill, just something to keep in mind, which really adds the impression. She looks pretty tucked up here, and maybe this is her track listing photo, possibly. I really love her expression. It reminds me of the look of eagles. What did you say for overall?
I just said, wow, in all caps. I love this horse, and I'm not just saying that because she looks a lot like Oscar. So we should actually put their track photos side by side. That'd be funny. She doesn't look like the biggest horse, but she seems like a powerhouse.
Yeah. What did you think about her head and neck?
I said she has an alert, intelligent expression. Probably sounds silly, but she looks like she'd have a good work ethic baked into her. Much like my RRP horse, she has a very high neck set and a powerful underneck muscle. The length of her neck is nice, and once she relaxes a bit, I think she's going to look really well balanced from front to back.
Yeah, I think she has a beautiful head, a lovely expression, and a neck set that I personally would prefer over the alternative of too low set of a neck. She will always feel up and balanced in front of you, though I get the impression that you might feel a bit perched on top of her ears at times when you're riding her.
Ask me what that's like.
Yeah. Her neck ties in beautifully to her wither and chest. She should have plenty of uphill movement and reach.
Yeah. What do you think about her shoulder?
I think she has a gorgeous shoulder. It's very powerful with good angles. Nice wither, though I personally would appreciate a bit more length to avoid that kind of perched on top feeling. Allow your saddle to maybe sit back a little bit further. How about
you? Yeah, basically the same, but I just said she looks like she would have the capacity to rotate her shoulder really well.
Yeah. How about front legs and feet?
So I said she's got a decent looking front leg. It's a little tricky because she's been body clipped to just above her knees. So it's just a little bit tricky to see exactly what's going on there. I think the front leg ties really well into her shoulder. She should have good range of motion. Her pastern angles look pretty good, though she looks to have two pretty mismatched feet, which is, again, very common. It's very typical for horses coming off the track. Her quality of hoof looks pretty good, and her angles shouldn't be too complicated to balance.
Yeah, I think I said pretty similar. I think her legs look really amazing after over 50 starts. Her hooves could use some balancing. She might be a titch over at the knee on that left front, but that actually never ever bothers me unless the horse is constantly buckling over at the knee. It's one of the few faults that I will overlook without issue.
Yeah.
What about her back?
So she's got a beautiful setback wither that ties in nicely to her back. She looks like she needs some muscling over her top line, but this photo looks like it might have been taken at the track. So that's going to change pretty dramatically. She's lovely, short coupled, and her back suits her body and build.
Yeah, I think the length of her back is good. It's proportional. She feels a bit light to me over the loin, but assuming she's just coming off the track here, it doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't look weak or anything like that, just a bit light, and she could use a little bit more muscle there. For hindquarters, I said I feel that this photo, while overall it's very good, it just seems like maybe her hind end is slightly tilted away from the camera, which lends to an impression of her front end kind of overpowering the hind end, the reverse of the last horse.
Yeah.
But when I look at her angles, I see a ton of power in those hindquarters. They could use maybe a little bit more muscle, but that's an easy fix. What about you?
I basically said the exact same thing. I was like, she's going to be a powerhouse once she starts her retraining.
Hind legs and feet. I think this is another horse, like our first horse, with a lovely length between Stifle and Hawk. And the muscling on this one is a little bit more proportional than the first horse.
Yeah, I said I love her hind leg. I imagine it's powerful and she can step really well underneath of herself. Her hind feet and her angles look okay and they'll improve over time.
Yeah. And then as far as final thoughts, as I thought from her pedigree, I really think that this mare can move well and just jump a house. I'd love to see how she's done post-track, what she's doing. I bet she can even do straight dressage or be an excellent eventer or show jumper.
Yeah, I said, this gal is a real stunner, a true athlete. I would be shocked if she wasn't light on her feet and quick off the ground. Mm-hmm. She doesn't look like the biggest horse around, but I don't think it matters when you're built like this. She probably presents a very fancy picture when she's on the bit and using herself. I would take this horse all day, any day.
It's a good group we have this
episode. Oh my gosh. Yeah, really good group.
All right. Let's move on to horse number 3. Why don't you kick us off here?
Okay. Next up is Special Story. He's a 2012 Bay Thoroughbred Gelding submitted by Morgan Westcott.
And before we even jump into a full pedigree analysis, let's talk a little bit about his background. Special Story is by Tale of the Cat and out of Celestial Sweep by Eddington. He raced a whopping 75 times, talk about a warhorse, and made over $300,000. He raced from 2016 to 2024.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm just looking up his pedigree real quick.
Neve's like, I don't trust you, bitch. What?
Fact checking. I just wanted to see something. So Special Story sold twice at auction for $120,000 at the Keeneland sale in November 2012. And then he sold for $300,000 in the Keeneland September yearling sale in 2013.
Wow. We wanted to do a quick shout out here about war horses and what that really means. I think it's a really important topic and can raise awareness about these really amazing horses. So one of the coolest things about this episode is that both Quora and Special Story fall into this category, which warhorse is a term used for thoroughbreds who race more than 50 times or earn over $100,000 in their careers.
Yeah, and when we talk about war horses, we're talking about tough, durable, and incredibly hardworking racehorses. These are the ones who show up week after week, season after season, and just keep grinding it out on the track.
For sure. War horses tend to be mentally and physically resilient, which can make them fantastic sport horse prospects. They've seen it all. They're usually very sound, and they often bring that same work ethic into their second careers.
I just want to jump in with a quick comment. I was at a lesson today and one of the people in the lessons was, she's actually the main track vet at Parks. And we were talking about one of the war horses that was in our lesson. And she said, yeah, you can see those ankles from a mile away. She's, but that horse is going to be sound. I look at thousands of race horses. She's, I'll take that horse all day, every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's really important to highlight them because a lot of buyers overlook older off-the-track thoroughbreds in favor of younger, lightly raced horses, but war horses have mileage in the best way. They know how to handle pressure, they're often very trainable, and they've already proven they can stay sound and competitive for years.
For sure. And Cora Ann and Special Story both had long, successful racing careers, which tells us a lot about their durability and temperament. I'd expect both of them to be tough, intelligent, and great workers in their second careers.
Yeah, and for someone looking for a solid eventer or jumping partner, war horses can be a really smart choice. They tend to be mentally steady, and because they've raced so much, they've already been exposed to a lot. Crowds, loud noises, traveling, you name it.
Couldn't agree more. So while some people might hesitate at an OTTB with 50 plus starts, we actually see that as a huge advantage when it comes to retraining for a sport career. All right, yeah. Let's move on to our first thoughts about pedigree.
So this horse is by Tale of the Cat. I happen to have a horse that was out of a Tale of the Cat mare. And they tend to be incredibly athletic. This horse has very little inbreeding, for one thing. Mr. Prospector is pretty up close in the pedigree, which is nice to see, unusual, I would say. But he's also not the youngest horse. And then, actually, I don't know a ton about the dam line. So maybe you can shed a little light there.
Sure. Yeah. First off, you mentioned this, but I noticed only a tiny bit of inbreeding on this one, too. I think I'm just like drawn to them. If we should have a game where you show me a picture of a horse.
We've already done that a little bit.
I tell you if it has inbreeding or not.
No, like, do you be like, oh, I really like this horse?
No, I know. It's just the ones I really like tend to not have a lot
of inbreeding.
And I'm
like, this one has no inbreeding. Yeah.
It's so weird. Anyway, did not realize that until we started doing this repetitively. Second off, I also noticed Tale of the Cat by Stormcat. We have talked about Stormcat before. We'll dive a bit deeper in a minute. I will probably get hate mail for this, and this is just my personal opinion. I don't personally seek Stormcat out in my own personal horses. Having said that, my filly is out of a mare that had Stormcat. Do as I say, not as I do. However, I always, regardless of any prejudices, if you want to say, that maybe I have or that you have when looking at a pedigree, I want you to look at that pedigree and that horse as a whole. Even though there's something that I personally don't, maybe wouldn't be my first choice, I also think about the good qualities that you would see there in mm-hmm. that, which is athleticism and a good sense of toughness. Maybe a little bit hot and maybe tough as an opinionated. Those might be the negatives. But when I look at this entire pedigree, it does seem very balanced. So I think that's very important to just look at the pedigree and then look at the horse and realize that they don't know their pedigree. Whatever preconceived notions you may have are just that. Hey, I'll get off my Stormcat soapbox. I do really like the Unbridled and Fappiano line, which we have mm-hmm. here on the dam side. One name I don't love to see is Unbridled Song, but he's not in here. A yeah. name I also love to see going further back in this pedigree is Broad Brush and Ack Ack. They speak durability and substance to me. Overall, I'd be very interested at looking at this horse based on the pedigree. I think he'd be tough, sound, and athletic with a good balanced brain.
All right.
All right. Neve, let's take a deeper look over our own kind of personal overall impressions here. You did just touch on this, but give us a little more information about Tale of the Cat and what he tends to represent.
Well, Tale of the Cat is such an interesting horse. As a racehorse, he was a top sprinter with wins like the King's Bishop Stakes, and he placed in several other graded races, but his real legacy was as a sire.
Yeah, incredibly, he sired over 100 stakes winners. And he did have a reputation for passing on speed and versatility. His line, from a sport horse perspective, brings good movement and athleticism, so they can be really good candidates for eventing or show jumping.
Definitely. And don't forget that he's a son of Stormcat, so he carries that boldness and competitive edge. But compared to Stormcat, Tale of the Cat's offspring tend to be a little bit more level-headed, which makes them approachable for amateur riders and sport disciplines.
So he does tend to balance out the hot streak from Stormcat while keeping the athleticism and quality movement intact. So let's talk about Mr. Prospector, another major influence here.
Mr. Prospector is legendary. From a racing perspective, he's one of the most influential sires in modern thoroughbred breeding, known for producing speed and precocity. For sport horses, his line is prized for correct
confirmation. I put a lot of big words in this time for you.
I know. His line is prized for correct confirmation and strong work ethics, which make his descendants versatile and trainable.
For sure. He's definitely a cornerstone. And I mentioned Broad Brush before. Can you tell us a little bit more about him?
Yeah. Broad Brush was known for being tough as nails at the track, earning over $2.6 million in his career. His offspring are known for their durability and soundness, traits that are perfect for sport horse careers.
And you don't see this name often, but I did mention it a few minutes ago. What about Ack Ack?
I know. Ak Ak is such a gem and a pedigree. He was a Hall of Famer and a Horse of the Year back in 1971. What's amazing about his line is how it brings stamina and a strong top line, which are crucial for eventers and jumpers. Plus, his descendants often have fantastic temperaments.
Yeah, that is a great observation. I also noticed Eddington. Have you found anything out about him?
Eddington brings some interesting traits to the mix. He was a consistent runner known for his stamina and late running style. Sport horse enthusiasts appreciate his line for producing horses with excellent size and scope, making them great for jumping.
And then there's Unbridled, who should be a household name in thoroughbred breeding.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbridled was a Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup Classic winner, and his influence as a sire is immense. His line tends to produce big, powerful horses with excellent hind ends, which is fantastic for sport disciplines requiring strength and impulsion.
Yeah, and another favorite of mine is Fappiano, who comes behind Unbridled.
Fappiano is the ultimate foundation sire for stamina and versatility. He brings together speed and endurance, and his influence can be seen in everything from top racehorses to upper-level eventers. His descendants often have great minds and are built to last.
And are usually very good movers. So, with this pedigree, we've got a great mix, again, of speed, stamina, durability, and athleticism, and in a horse that won over $300,000, that's pretty awesome. But I think he also has a lot of sport horse potential.
Yeah, exactly. Tail of the Cat and Mr. Prospector bring the speed and refinement, while Broad Brush, Ak, and Unbridled add the stamina and strength. This horse has a ton of potential across disciplines.
I couldn't agree more. Let's take a closer look at the horse's conformation and see how these amazing bloodlines translate to physical traits.
Okay, I just want to say something before we even go into this horse.
Oh.
Which is
Neve's quitting.
No. When we put these episodes together, we take turns picking the horses and we pick them randomly. We have a whole file and we just go through and decide on which horses. And so the other person doesn't know the horses that we've picked initially. And then we do the research and the opinions together. But as I was going through the pictures for this episode and I got to this horse, I was like, oh, this is Emily's horse. I opened up the picture and was like, that's Emily's horse. That's, she's going to somehow hook up a truck and trailer and go find this horse right now.
Find this horse. Yeah. Maybe.
If Emily closed her eyes and was like, what would I make a thoroughbred look like if I could make it look perfect for me? It's this horse.
It's funny because I think that in this episode especially, we've had three horses that are very much the type, they're all suitable for eventing, dressage, jumping, which is most of our background, but they're all very different. Yeah. And each one, I'm like, gosh, I'd love this horse. But you're right. When I was writing up my final assessment before we recorded, and he's the third horse. Yeah, you're right. This is a stamp of a horse, which is funny because I'm all like, I don't really love Stormcat, but I really want this horse. So, again, I say not as I do, because
just goes Morgan, to show.
Morgan Westcott, let me know where he is.
He's doing. Don't. He's going to come and stalk you.
I know, except that I feel like every episode we fall in love with one, and then we're going to add to the collection.
Again, they're like potato chips.
So. When we get a farm.
Oh, boy. we move to Tennessee. We're not getting
from. Yeah, exactly. West Virginia. Mountain Mama. All right. I'll shut up now. What are your overall impressions of this horse other than what you just said? Or was that it?
In big, sparkly letters in neon lights, I wrote, wow. Just when we thought we couldn't get a nicer horse, this guy comes along. He's a top shelf stunner. Clearly, the breeders had high hopes given the auction results and his racing career.
I said, looking at the photo, forget anything negative I may have just said about his pedigree. This horse is gorgeous. He's beautifully proportioned with a lovely expression.
Yeah.
Head and neck. I think he looks
smart. I have more overall impressions. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I did too for this horse. I got carried away. I said he's absolutely stunning, possibly cut late in his career. He's got quite a crusty neck and a thick throat latch, possibly a cribber. Who cares? Just so much presence with this guy.
Yes, I think he looks smart and calm, lovely head, best neck of the three horses. The neck set, I think, is perfect. It's high, but not peacocky. He has an excellent length of rein. Looks like he'd have that plenty of front porch feel that I really like.
I said he's got an alert but intelligent expression and big ears, which I love. His neck ties into a well set back weather. Emily's going to be all over this horse, I wrote in parentheses.
I think too, full disclosure, I think I had wanted to not choose this horse because we chose a horse by the same person that submitted in one of our previous episodes, but I couldn't leave him out.
And again, it's random, so we try to make it as fair as possible.
Yeah, I didn't even know who had submitted the horse until, and I was like, oh, I really would love to spread it out more, but no, he's staying in. So, sorry. All right, back on track. Shoulder, what do you think?
It's fine. That's all you can get. But no, he's got a gorgeous long shoulder and a tight angle up front. I would guess he can move really well up front. I can already picture him over fences.
I say he has a lovely shoulder. I did get, I think this might be the only critical thing I say. I feel like the point of his shoulder is a little lower than the prior two horses, but the angle is still good. The length is beautiful and he has a beautiful wither. So I guess we'll forgive him.
It's also in this picture, it is a little bit tricky to tell because he's standing with the sun in front of him. So he's got like his head, neck, and the first part of his shoulders and his front legs are in shadow. So yeah. It's a little bit tricky, but yeah.
Stop blaming the photo.
He's super nice. Stop it. I said about his front legs and feet, it's a little hard to tell because he's in shadow, but he looks to have a nice front leg. His feet look slightly asymmetrical, which might be contributing to his left leg looking slightly over at the knee.
God, get out of my brain. I said maybe he is just a titch over at the knee, looks maybe a bit mismatched in the front feet. If I'm being really picky, he could maybe have a shorter cannon bone. But with his race record, I think he's doing just fine. Let's move on to the back.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I said, like the last mare, I feel like he's a bit weak through his loin. And I feel that he is slightly long in the back, though he does have a nice long neck that offsets that. And I really don't mind that. I feel personally, I don't mind a little extra length in the back. I feel like they're a little bit scopier, a little bit rangier feeling under you sometimes. And if you want to jump a big wide fence, that's a nice feeling. But that is just a personal preference. How about you?
I said he's lacking a little bit over his SI area, but he could be right off the track in this photo. And I would say he's a touch long in the back, which might make him a little tricky for saddle fit. If you're looking at this photo and I'm like trying to figure out where the saddle would fit, it's at that huge
because
shoulder
his
and
wither,
that back,
yeah,
his
yeah.
wither is so set back. But like you said, I think then you're going to feel like you have equal amounts of horse in front and behind you. And so that's actually a desirable effect, not a negative.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about like where the girth should go versus
that's what
where
I was just trying
ends.
To figure.
Yeah, it could be tricky, but we can make it work. We know a good saddle fitter.
Yeah.
Also, I need to hit the lottery. So I think that the last mare, he's a little bit weak appearing behind. And that's maybe something that would be interesting to look at in terms of war horses coming off the track versus non-war horses. I don't know. But if it's something that just the way that the muscling appears. But his angles are really lovely. I see, yeah, he's got a great equilateral triangle there. So I see nothing wrong with his hindquarters.
Yeah, I think I basically just put rose-colored glasses on when looking at this horse because I qualified every single thing that I said.
Right. But I said. Maybe it's a little weak, but it's fine.
I said, for as lean as he is right now, I love his hind end. It looks powerful enough to support his athletic front end and will only get better in his second career.
And hind legs and feet. I think he's got a great angle and length to his hind leg, needs a little bit more muscle.
Yeah, I said that I really like the connection between his stifle, Gaskin, and Hawk. His hind feet look like they're either right off the track or in their early shoeing cycle, but he's going to have a good foot.
Final thoughts, you'll laugh because I said, of the three, this is the one I'd want to sit on the most. He's the most my type. I'd expect him to be a good mover, maybe not as spectacular a mover as number two, but he will have an exceptional rangy gallop and jump. I actually wonder, and I meant to look this up before we recorded, but I wonder if he ever raced over fences. I think he would have been a force to be reckoned with in long format eventing where stamina, bravery, and endurance were paramount. We need a time machine.
Yeah. So I wrote, this is Emily's horse all day. He looks like he could be on the bigger side, and I hope he is with all of that length. A powerful looking horse that should be a very good mover and an excellent galloper. I would aim this horse at upper level eventing.
Yeah. Great. All right. I'm going to ask you this because I think we answered this for me. We looked at three really awesome OTTBs today. Which one stood out to you the most and why, as maybe a personal choice for you?
I think I am drawn the most to Cora Ann.
Mm-hmm.
I love the first horse. The first horse looks like it would be such a fun horse to ride. But I think I'm using Oscar's influence a little bit that's drawing me towards that. She just looks compact, but very sporty. Now having a horse that's built in a similar fashion, while it can sometimes be a little bit intense having their ears all the way up where your eyeballs are, in terms of looking through their ears at all times, it's a nice feeling when you have a compact horse that is also very uphill. And when you feel that connection over their back and the possible movement in there, it just feels like you're driving a sports car.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I really liked her the most.
Agree. I don't think we'd kick any of these three out of bed or out of the barn.
No. No.
It's a children's show, right? We wouldn't kick them out of the barn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she was exceptional. I do really like the first horse. You know who he reminds me of the more I think about it is?
You're asking me to guess?
The one that we did the underdog story on, the chestnut.
Oh, Bombino.
No, the other one. Oh. The one that was raised at Castle Rock.
Oh, yeah, El Patron.
Yes. There's something about him that reminds me a little bit of El Patron.
Yeah, I can see that. Just like that horse, it's hard to fault them conformationally. And that's the thing, too, guys, when we're doing these things, we're putting these horses under a pedigree microscope, a racing history microscope, our personal opinions, which is based off of experiences and all of the research that we've done. And it's just one lens to put these horses through. So we'd never want to offend anybody or have anyone feel disappointed that Emily didn't pick my horse as her favorite. But
I think we gushed over all of these. So
we did.
We're hopefully safe.
I think we do every time, honestly.
Shh. We're going to have to really bash a horse in the next episode. Beware.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Niamh, you never hit record.
Stop it. I did.
All right. Anyway, enough of that. We hope you enjoyed this episode of OTTB on Tap Evaluates. Thank you so much for joining our Supercast tier so that you could check this out. Don't forget to go to ottbontap.supercast.com, access your dashboard, and there will be posts, including the images of the horses and their pedigrees that we looked at today. And we will also update you if and when we hear from their owners as to if we were right or not, because we do not know until they reach out. So
it's very exciting, actually, for us.
It is very exciting. I think so far we've been pretty good. So
yeah. Yeah. And pleasantly surprised by some things as well. So that's really cool. And remember, if you'd like for your horse to be featured in a future episode, visit OTTBontap.com to submit their jockey club name and confirmation photos.
Thank you for tuning in. Until next time. Cheers.
Cheers.